In this in prayer. Let's see. Jax, would you please lead us in another word of prayer?
Traveling home today, and in Jesus'
name
we ask it all. Amen.
All right. Leviticus 24. Okay, that's the extent of my bowl, knop, and flower. And if you have a problem with that drawing, you can come up and draw it for me next time. Because I'm terrified to draw in front of people. I'd rather talk in front of people than draw in front of people. So we can grow in the Lord. Because the fact that I just drew that picture in front of you all is very, very frightening. Verses 1 through 3 of this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring the pure olive oil beaten for the light to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning. Before the Lord continually it shall be a statute forever. In your generations, he shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. So, we talked about this last night, but this olive oil was brought and it was put in these bowls, and these seven lamps, on this candlestick, that is what provided that light. That was what provided that discernment in the sanctuary, inside the sanctuary, in the house of God. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Brother Travis, would you get 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 5? And Brother Nathan, would you get, you could get Revelations 2 and verse 5. So go ahead, Brother Travis, whenever you get there.
To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Okay. And then, Brother Nathan, go ahead.
Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent.
Okay, so a couple passages in the New Testament that the spirit may be saved. And then remove the candlestick. So, what is he saying in Revelation 2? Yes, the Holy Spirit would leave. No longer a dwelling place of God, right? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We understand that, we should understand that the Holy Spirit is no longer there, but, you know, 1 Corinthians 5, it's not one that gets used as often, but with all the things that he's talking to, Brother Mike was just, go on to the next chapter, it's divided up into chapters, but really this is just one long letter. Corinthians is just one long letter. Starts off with the foundation, or not, he doesn't start off with it, but you know, chapter 3, foundation, gold, silver, precious stone. chapter 5, obviously, the sin that was in the church. And then there was other sins that he was referring to and this and that. But verse 5 there, you know, or 6 and 7, little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But purge it out that the spirit may be saved. So, what's he referring to there? That the spirit may be saved.
Spirit will be taken away?
Of the individual?
Of the church.
Of the church.
Yeah.
If the church didn't purge out that leaven, if the church didn't get rid of that sin, the church at Corinth was in danger of losing the candlestick. Specifically, they were in danger of the oil, that olive oil, not being there as the fuel, as the source of the light. Now, the candlestick was a beautiful piece of furniture. It was amazing. It was incredible. But what purpose did it serve to Hophni and Phinehas when they went into the sanctuary of God in 1 Samuel 3 and the light was out? What purpose did it serve? As a matter of fact, you could argue that with it being dark in there, that was just something they were going to run into. It was just something that took up space. I mean, and we can go all sorts of places with the analogies, but it wasn't serving a purpose. Oh, we have the candlestick. We have this one beaten work of one talent of gold. Look at this. Look, we have the King James Version. We have the Bible. Independent Fundamental Baptists will tell you, I am saved. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And I have a King James Version Bible. That's all I need. That's all I need. And they might go to church for a little bit or whatever. They might have a church, but I've had them go from that position to a couple months later tell me, you know what? Jesus never told anybody to go to church. So me and my family, we're going to go buy a piece of property. And we're just, what they're saying is we're basically going to have our own church in our house. And we're going to homestead. And we're going to prep for doomsday. And we're going to do all this stuff. That's how they get there. How they get there. Because I have the Holy Spirit inside of me as a child of God. And I have the King. Well, I have the lampstand. They ignore that it's inside the sanctuary and all that. But you don't have this olive oil. You don't have the oil. It's not there. And he says, you know, I will remove the candlestick out of his place. That the Spirit will be... Why purge out the leaven? Why trim our wicks? Why go in and order the lamps every day? Every day they ordered those lamps. You know, God would have all things be done decently and in order. Those priests went in there and they checked those bowls, they checked those knops and flowers, and they trimmed those wicks. Why? To make sure... Well, there were 7 lamps on there. Make sure those lamps didn't go out. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. That lampstand was beautiful and so important, but without those lamps that had the oil,
yes,
there was no light.
And the candlestick didn't grow legs and walk out of the sanctuary in 1 Samuel 3.
Mm-hmm.
The priest neglected it. What'd they not do? Well, they didn't take stock of that oil. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that olive oil was gone. The light went out. Well, why'd the light go out? Because they didn't throw more wood on the fire? No, we're talking about the lamps. What was the fuel for the lamp? It was the olive oil that they were to bring. And it went out. You know, again, I'm going to refer to Brother Hunter's lesson at work week. When a church loses the candlestick, they might still have the Word of God. But you know what? They don't have the ability to discern the Word of God anymore. They don't have the ability to understand the mysteries of the Word of God anymore. They don't have the ability. They don't have the guidance. And even just saying the word ability, hopefully we understand. Because you know what? Their knowledge, their smarts, their intellect, their IQ, that all doesn't change. But you know what? That's not how you and I understand it.
Well, you're talking, it's funny because that's what kind of led to what was building here. It was some fundamental Baptist that visited, had a, you know, this question came up, and shocking that saved people do bad things sometimes and get caught up in bad things, because that's just like that, that cannot happen. Once you're saved, and then what, how you live your life is, you know, we're all good. Not the ability to just read simple things. I mean, and you're, you know, and sometimes we look at things like, how do you not see who he's speaking to? But it's just like, the ability to comprehend is not there, even though they're intelligent people.
And, you know, there's two, so I don't know if I'm ready to, like, print this and publish it and just die on
your drawing.
What's that? Yeah, die on this hill. But if somebody is a professes to be a New Testament church member, so they profess to be saved, and then, of course, they get baptized, I think there's basically, like, two paths as to why they would be resisting sound doctrine. One is they're just rebellious. Can church members get rebellious? Can you get rebellious as a saved child of God? Can you? Yes. But also, maybe they're not saved. And I think, you know, every now and then Uncle Roger would say, well, a good dose of salvation would help them out. And I'd be like, I don't know if I want to accept that. You know, I'd like to think that everyone's saved. But you know what? Sometimes you get to the point where you're like, how can you not, you know, you're saved, you're baptized, the Holy Spirit as Comforter is giving you this enlightenment. The Bible uses that term. You know, it's not because your IQ is lower or you're not educated. Maybe they're not saved. And not that that really changes, I guess, how we contend for the faith and teach, but that happens sometimes. Sometimes church members are not saved, and they don't have a light to put on the candlestick, and so the olive oil is obviously not fueling them. All right, Acts 19. So, Acts 19. We're going to read about some individuals here, and we'll just start reading in verse 1. Let's see. Sister Jocelyn, would you read 1 through 5? Actually, go ahead and just read verses 1 through 10.
It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, until what then were ye baptized? And he said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John, verily ye baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all of them were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when the diverse were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued for the space of 2 years, so that all of they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks.
All right, thank you. I probably had you read a couple more than you needed to there, but thank you. So, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul came to Ephesus. And what did he find when he got here to Ephesus?
Some saved people.
Some saved people. Okay? So, if they were saved, then what had happened to them according to 2 Corinthians last night, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what had happened to them with regards to, and you recognize my awesome drawing here, what had happened to in their hearts?
The light of the glory of God was shown unto them.
So they had the glorious light of the gospel shed abroad in their hearts. Okay? They had the Holy Spirit. Were they a third of the way full, or two-thirds of the way full? No, they were. They had, their heart was full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, they were 100% the children of God. They had the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. But, I mean, and when they get asked, have you received the Holy Spirit? They didn't even, they were clueless. What are you talking about? Exactly. They had no idea. But they had the Holy Spirit inside of them. They had the glory. They understood the gospel. Okay, but what did they not understand? A whole bunch. There was a whole lot that they didn't understand. Now let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Well, just real quickly, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. The Holy Ghost came on them. Yeah, that's what had just happened. What had just happened, their light had just been put on this candlestick.
Matthew chapter 5.
Just in that circumstance, in that moment. Why? Well, Paul was from Antioch. And he had the authority from the church at Antioch. Or the church at Antioch had authorized him. It laid their hands on them. You know, I love that in the book of Acts. Paul wasn't a superhero. He didn't touch people and they just, they got buzzed with the Holy Spirit, you know. But there were times where Peter and John laid their hands on people. What was that? It was a sign, it was a symbol of the Holy Spirit as comforter giving life to another body. So the body in Jerusalem, the body in Antioch, enlivening or livening, if you will, another body. The individuals were full of the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit. But what happened is these individuals in Acts 19, that light inside of them, those disciples, did it say there were 10 or 12? I think 12. 12 men. Their light was now put on this candlestick. And now we get to the book of Ephesians. Okay? Well, Timothy was a pastor at Ephesus. Okay. So you have the book of Ephesians written to these same individuals. These same 12 individuals, the book of Ephesians written to. Is there doctrine in the book of Ephesians? Yeah, there's a lot of doctrine in the book of Ephesians. Is there doctrine, is there exhortation in the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, the pastor of the church at Ephesus? There's a lot of doctrine. Now, I don't think Timothy was part of he wasn't part of the original 12. But the point is then the book of Revelation is written to these 12 men. So these 12 men before, they were just 12 individuals. They were just 12 men. You know what? God didn't write them letters. God didn't write them the book of Ephesians. God didn't write their pastor, 1 and 2 Timothy. Yes, he wrote their pastor, 1 and 2. But they didn't have a pastor when they were just 12 men. And he didn't write them the book of Revelations. The point is after they received the Holy Spirit, the point is after they received the Comforter, guess what they started to receive? They started to receive the leadership, the preaching, the teaching, the exhortation of the Lord. God didn't, we'll get to it here. But Ephesians 1 and verse 8, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us. Made known unto us, the church members, the church body at Ephesus, the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Verse 18, and I'm going to just jump around here. We're not going to get into the mysteries and all that, but that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Were their eyes enlightened in Acts 19 when Paul first found them? No. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Who's the Holy Ghost? We don't know. You know. But they were enlightened now. He's telling them that your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Is that because these people, you know, now they had put their time in, they'd been saved for a while, they'd grown? No, it's all, they just had, their light was just now on the candlestick. They just had that olive oil in there. That was the difference. Chapter 3, and he says, verse 2, if you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore you in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So there's a difference here. I know I'm kind of beating the dead horse here. But there's a difference in when he first found these men in Acts 19, and when he, and now when this book of Ephesians is being written to them. And yeah, time had gone on, some years had gone on, but the main difference was they'd received the Holy Ghost as Comforter. That was the main difference. And so when we read, well, I'll remove the candlestick, or that the Spirit may be saved, that's the real danger, because, you know, if the Spirit was removed from the church in Cresswell, I'm going to go to church tomorrow. I'm going to do the same thing I did last week. You know what? Brother Jim back there, his pew is going to feel the same as it felt last week. And his flesh is going to feel the same. And if he felt the Spirit moving last week, he's going to feel the Spirit moving tomorrow, isn't he? But guess what's not going to be there? There's going to be no oil in that lamp. Through Jake and then Brother Nathan.
Look at the book of Ezekiel when the glory of God left the temple.
Yeah.
400 years, they still kept, quote, worshiping in the temple. God wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we always say, well, you got to be careful not to go off feeling. And you know, well, that's a good example of it. Because it muscle memory, right? It probably felt the same. Whatever your job was, if your job was to trim the wicks, or if your job was to order the bread, you know, you're just like, well, I'm actually getting better at it. I'm getting quicker at it, you know, whatever.
So we've been using this as an example in the Church of Salem. So there are things that sometimes we look at and they're kind of cool, little, just reassurances. And so you go up and if, let's say at the youth rally, next Saturday, let's say whether you get voted a preacher or you don't, if the person that gets up there and preaches has the same exact message, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool, we're on the same page. It's a reassurance that you were, you know, that it could be a reassurance that you, yes, God is actually.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, you do a devotional, and the devotional and the song and the message, they all line up. Oh, cool. You know,
yeah.
That's not how I know that during the week I was led by the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
We get so accustomed to looking for those things and become dependent on those things. Those things, that could just be a coincidence. That could be something. Guess what? If we're all falling after Satan and he's leading us, he's going to lead us, we could all be going in the same direction too. That's why we have to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God let us know, is this actually the Spirit of God leading, or is it something else?
Right, exactly. You know, and we won't get there this morning, but 1 John 4, you know, he says, try the spirits to see whether they are of God. And, you know, that light is gonna give the same information to me as it does to you. When we walk in, it's there on the south side, it's on the left-hand side. It's going to give the same information. But we, you know, have to be careful with coincidences or these signs. Well, no, if it's the Spirit's leadership, it's the Spirit's leadership, regardless.
I was just going to say, if a church loses the candlestick, they're no longer under God's authority. They no longer are, I mean, they can't even baptize if they're in a scriptural baptism, if God's taken away that covenant between him and the church. Like they're not doing his will, so therefore, wouldn't it just be classified as getting wet? Because the church is not in fellowship with God, right? I mean, it's just like a not scriptural church.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are, yeah, exactly, and that's where the church at Corinth, there were some in the church at Corinth that were taking the Lord's Supper, not discerning the Lord's body, right?
Right.
So, maybe some in the church at Corinth, the Lord hadn't removed his Spirit from the church at Corinth just yet, but they were in danger of that. But, you know, whenever the Spirit left the church at Corinth, did they keep taking the Lord's Supper? Probably for a while. Or maybe forever. But they weren't able to, they had stopped, and then they eventually got to the point where they weren't able to discern the Lord's body. So they had no knowledge, they had no discernment, they weren't able to determine. Why? Because the Spirit was gone. All right, and so can a church keep baptizing? Sure. But they're not. Look here at Ephesians 3, verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. In Acts 19, were these 12 individuals, were these 12 men able to do this?
Not then.
But having received the Holy Ghost as Comforter, having had, now their light has been put on this lampstand, now these bowls are being filled with olive oil continuously, guess what? Now they can understand. Now they can understand the breadth, the depth, the length, the height. All right, so we have to, do we have the fullness of the mind of Christ? Yes. And praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for, you know, I was just thinking this morning on the way here, I was like, man, what a blessing to have the school. What a blessing to have the generations of, I don't know what generation we're on now, of people that have come through the school here, and others that have, or it was Colton that asked me, why is it called Preacher's School? You know, so I tried to give him an answer. What a blessing. But, you know, this school and the teachers and the instructors and all that we are richly blessed to have access to is only because of the Holy Spirit. It's not because we have this great collection of minds, you know, in this little pocket of the world. It's not because we've mixed and matched and weeded out all the great Bible scholars in this little Pacific Northwest corner of the globe. It's because of the Holy Spirit. It's because of the Holy Spirit that we're able to comprehend, that we're able to understand, and we're able to be guided into it. 1 Peter chapter 2. And so, you know, the class here, Bible analysis, a church that does not have, that has had the candlestick removed out of his place. And I don't know if we looked at it. I don't know if we'll get to it. Hopefully we will. But you know, over in let me make sure I give it. So it's Exodus 35. We won't turn over there. But in Exodus 35, it actually refers to the candlestick and his furniture, and it says his. So that's a neat cross reference there between Revelations 1 and 2 and Exodus, because it his, remove out of his place, and in Exodus there it refers to the furniture. And any of the other furniture just refers to it as it, but the candlestick is given a personal pronoun, I guess you would call it. So 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, or no, not 1 John. You know what I mean. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. Verse 20. All right. I'm off. What's that? I've lost it, my teaching. What am I thinking? 1 Peter 4. Oh my word, I can't find it. Where is it? You have an unction from the Holy One.
1 John
2. 1 John. Hey, Brother Jake, there's that coincidence you were talking about. But which one of us was being led by the Spirit there? 1 John. All right. It's a good thing you guys, it's a good thing I read these last night. All right, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. 1 John 2 and 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. I'll stop right there. So there's a difference between the Holy Spirit being within you and being upon you. And this anointing here, you know, Aaron and his sons were anointed with that oil. And he even talks about it in Psalms as the oil that ran down Aaron's beard. Okay, so this is the Holy Spirit being upon you, not the Holy Spirit being within you. Well, he's within you at your salvation, but he's upon you as comforter. So this anointing, because people will say, well, see, I have all of the Holy Spirit I need. I have the Holy Spirit when I got saved. Well, but are you anointed?
Right.
You know, have you been anointed? Well, that's the comforter. Anyways, but as the same anointing teacheth you. So a saved person that has not been anointed with the oil outside of a New Testament church, can they be taught by the Holy Spirit? No. And so this anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. When a saved New Testament church member goes out of the will of the Lord, not only are they they're rebelling against God, they still have this anointing, but now they're walking outside of the leadership of that anointing, right? And they're, I don't know if we'll get to it this morning, but that's why he tells them, you know, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust. Be full of the Holy Ghost. And so, being inside this sanctuary, having your light on the candlestick, and having that olive oil in there, that's what allows for this teaching. That's what allows for this guidance in this leadership, this understanding of the depth, the length, the breadth, the height, the four-dimensional, you know, discernment of the Word of God. See a hand? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, and starting in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. There's no getting around that verse 10. I mean, it says it clearly. He's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Not a Christian college, not a Christian university, not... Well, I've read the Bible through 6 times. I mean... People say that. They say that all the time. I've read the Bible. Great. good for you. You know. I've never sat down. I don't know how many people in this room have. Maybe you have. And good for you if you have. But I have never sat down and read the Bible through from beginning to end. I'm not proud to admit this. There might be verses in the Bible. I'm thinking of some books there at the end of the Old Testament. You know what? I don't know if I've read every verse in the Bible. I'm not proud to admit that, but you know, it's not how many times you've read through the Bible. It's not how many years you've gone here. It's not how long you've been a pastor. It's, am I letting the Spirit of God teach me? Am I letting the Spirit of God give me that discernment? Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. again, you can't get out, you can't get away from that, which the Holy Ghost teaches. So if a church doesn't have the Holy Ghost, they're not being taught the Word of God. You know, if a saved person is outside the Lord's New Testament church, they're not being taught. You know, somebody that is excluded from the Lord's New Testament church, and they're like, well, I've been studying my Bible. Are they learning? No.
Only if they're studying repent.
Yeah, you know. Does the Holy Spirit going to convict them and guide them back to... But that's all the Spirit is doing in that office work for them. You know, well, I've been studying it out at home. You know, I disagree with the church on this, and I've been doing some studying at home, and I've... Well, so you're saying that outside the sanctuary, with no oil, the Holy Spirit's now teaching you at home, and so now you know better than what he's teaching the church. No, if you're in rebellion against God, God as a child, he's going to chastise you and guide you and direct you back to the sanctuary. But you know, he's not teaching you. You're not learning and growing in that state of rebellion. He's not illuminating your heart with this enlightenment and this knowledge the same way that he is those that have their lights on that candlestick. Yeah, yeah, Brother Jim.
Just like they said this morning, that there's only one interpretation of the Bible. The Bible says you need to be in church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So there we get to that word that we looked at last night. You know, the church at Corinth, they were, later on in chapter 11, he says, you know, you're taking the Lord's Supper unscripturally, unrighteously, because you're not discerning the Lord's body. They were looking at it through the eyes of the flesh. They weren't looking at it through the eyes of the Spirit. The Spirit was not... The Spirit was giving them, no doubt the Spirit was leading and guiding them, but because they were carnal, and we're not going to, chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. You're carnal. You're not allowing this olive oil to give you the light. So, you bring in a headlamp into the sanctuary, you bring in a flashlight, you're going off memory, you're going off muscle memory, whatever you're doing, you're not functioning according to this light here. And so, let's see here. Anything? Let's,
What they're doing is that Nadab and Abihu bringing in a strange fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Numbers 4. We'll just finish with this. Finish with this for the weekend. Numbers 4. So, finish with this. A church that does not have the Comforter... And as well, we have to understand on an individual level, a person that is not walking in the Spirit. And there's many verses in the New Testament about walking in the Spirit. Be not full of wine where is in excess, but be full of the Spirit. Just some verses, I guess, for your notes or references. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it says there were many that were full of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 6, they were instructed to look out, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 7, Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 11, they were full of the... What does that mean? It means they were being led, they were being controlled by... It doesn't mean they were more saved than the other church members, but they were full of the Holy Ghost. They were being led by, controlled by. Are we as God's churches today, am I as a child of God full of the Holy Ghost? Like, I have to ask myself that question. Because I'm going to face questions and decisions and circumstances on a daily basis where I have a choice to follow the discernment of my flesh. So someone called me this week and they were asking me question, you know, it's kind of a asking, I guess you'd say advice or whatever, and I could feel myself, I wasn't in their situation, but I could feel myself kind of like putting myself in their situation where my I could see where my flesh would have gotten worked up, and I'd be like, yeah, I would punch them in the face. That's what I would do. And I was like, well, I can't say that. I can't give that person that advice. And so I was like, yeah, I was like, oh, well, you know, Bible says this, and we gotta. But I could feel myself being like, "Man, that is tough. That's a tough situation to be in." Numbers 4, 9, and 10. And they shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick of the light and his lamps and his tongs and his snuff dishes and all the oil vessels thereof, wherewith they may minister unto it. So they cover it with a cloth of blue. And this is when they're packing up, and they're getting ready to walk, you know, walk, move on. They cover it with a cloth of blue, and they shall put it and all the vessels thereof within a covering of badger skins, and shall put it upon a bar. So as they're walking through the wilderness, it's covered in badger skins. And we know what those badger skins, right? I mean, it was just camouflage. I mean, it's just, what I mean by that is it's just drab. It's just, didn't stand out, didn't stick out. This candlestick, nobody could see what was underneath this covering. And in between the batter skins and the candlestick, there was a covering of blue. But the beauty of it was not seen. It wasn't beheld. The world can only see the badger skins. They may know that there's some weight. I think that's why the Mormons carry the King James Version around in their backpack. They like the idea of the Word of God, but they're not using it, right? So they can only see the badger skins. Jesus said in John 17, you know, I've given them thy word. He's given the word to the church. The church can behold the beauty of it. The church can understand. The church can truly discern and analyze the scriptures, but the world's not going to be able to. So all they're going to see is the badger skins. Let's go ahead and stand.